This is the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm Laura Dierda, and I'm thrilled to be joined today by Josh Wilda, CIO of Metro Health and University of Michigan Health in Wyoming, Michigan. Josh, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you, Laura, for having me. Excited to be here.
Before we jump into the questions, could you tell us a little bit more about yourself and the points of pride at Metro Health?
Sure. Like you mentioned, I'm the Chief Information Officer for Metro Health. I've been at Metro for 15 years. And prior to that, I actually worked for a big EMR company, Epic, as a lot of probably your viewers know. A lot of key points at Metro Health. So Metro Health is a 208-bed organization in Wyoming, Michigan. But I never like describing us by the size of our beds. We are really a progressive organization that works hand in hand with the University of Michigan and the Michigan Medicine System. And what we do is we provide a lot of community and acute care services to the greater Grand Rapids area. But our points of pride are we really do take advantage of what technology and innovation can do for our patient care base. And that's a big pride of obviously in my role, as well as the strategic plans of our organization do a lot of investment in understanding how technology can help our communities. And that is a really point of pride for me, myself and my staff.
Well, fantastic. I look forward to hearing more about that. Yeah. How are you thinking about growth over the next 1 to 3 years?
Yeah, growth in the next 1 to 3 years is an interesting conversation because it's less about purchasing of things or sizes of organizations. What I'm excited about in the next 1 to 3 years is really how can we condense our bricks and mortar strategies and partner them with the digital health strategies that are you're seeing out there in the industry today. And in those digital health strategies, really, it's all about meeting the patient, where they need to be seen, when they need to be seen, and what kind of complexity of the patient care that they need, whether it just be a well care visit or maybe it's chronic care. And I think over the next 1 to 3 years, you're going to see that growth. I think COVID lifted the genie out of the bottle when it comes to the payment for these kind of services. And you're really seeing organizations now wrap an experience around that patient's continuum of care. And so in those 1 to 3 years, I see us investing less in bricks and mortar, less in bare metal technologies, and taking more advantage of cloud-based solutions, digital health solutions, even a lot of digital health partners to really be able to drive healthcare into the future.
That's a great point and so interesting to think about how that, as you mentioned, the bricks and mortar care and the digital healthcare strategies are going to come together. I think that's really fascinating to think about and, you know, it'll be great to see how that moves forward in the future. What are you most excited about right now and what makes you nervous?
That's a good question because I think any CIO that doesn't say that cybersecurity and all of the bad actors are what causes us the most pain right now and the most nervousness. And I think that is the dichotomy of even my role is I want to see innovation. I want to see us open up what we can give to patients, how we can give them the access that they need when they need to see it. How can we bridge a lot of care teams together in different locations is using technology to really drive that patient and that patient care. That's what excites me. And then on the flip side of that, then you have this kind of dichotomy of, but then I have to make sure it's safe, it's secure, it's private. And sometimes I get into those kind of, I guess, multiple personalities, if you will, of do I open it up or do we close it down? And I think that that really makes you nervous as you go forward is when you really talk about what technology can bring to the table, a lot of that gets tempered because of the cybersecurity conversations and the privacy conversations. And so what makes you nervous is how much are we really going to be able to take advantage of, especially as you see 5G and some of these more advanced technologies come into play. But then how are we going to have to control them from a cybersecurity and privacy standpoint? And I think that also lends itself to the underserved populations that we have, where we're going to have to bring more technologies into those areas to serve them better and provide more services to them, which really excites me. But then again, on the other side of that coin is a lot of these areas, they might not have the technology wherewithal, the infrastructure to be as safe and secure as you need to be. So I think that makes for a good excitement / nervousness type of approach to the role of a CIO. And I think if you have that good balance, you'll be able to serve well. So I'm really excited to see how the industry is evolving to take care of both sides of that coin.
That's a great point. And I really appreciate you going through that dichotomy with us in terms of wanting to move forward with some of the innovations and technology, but at the same time, wanting to make sure it's safe and secure, both within the patient's data, as well as who's having access to it and where it's being used.
You also have to make sure that those patients too, right, that they're also involved in care. And I think that makes it also an interesting conversation, because it's not just about how does your hospital and everyone around the patient access that information. Now it's also about the patient involved and being part of the care team. And so it's just an interesting dynamic. That's why I love healthcare, is there's so many dynamics to really making sure patients get treated where they need to be treated.
Absolutely. And it's definitely a fascinating thing to think about and really see how it all plays out. Now, what are your top three pieces of advice for aspiring leaders today?
That's a good question, Laura. And the first piece of advice I have given to everyone and anyone that'll listen, and it really is, make your aspirations known. Don't just assume that people will notice you. You have to have some sort of mechanism within you to promote where you want to be, where you want to go. I'm not suggesting everyone has to have their goals all laid out. But if you don't make it known to people of where you want to go, where you want your career to be, how you want to be as a leader, they can't help you. And that's what I think leadership is a lot about, is taking advantage of the community around you to help you with your aspirations and goals. The second advice that I usually give folks is leadership is really a skill to be honed. Some people think of dynamic leaders or charismatic leaders that you read about in books and all the things that they've done, and people go, I don't have that in me. A lot of those leaders honed their skills. And so I tell folks that leadership isn't just the title of authority. It's what you do with it and what you learn about the different techniques about leadership. There's so many different tools out there for so many different situations. It becomes a career in of itself. Education around the leadership, education around how to treat staff, on when to lead and when to follow. And I think that is key for folks, that they just think sometimes, I got a title, that means I'm a leader. And you're far from it at that point. At that point, now it's time to learn how to hone those skills and to be able to take advantage of all the resources around you to make you and your organization as successful as possible. And the last one I kind of touched on, and it's something that I even tell my five-year-old, I really try to get him instilled with this. And I say, leaders need to know when to lead, but they also need to know when to follow. And I think a good leader knows how to set up their teams and set up certain situations where they can set that vision and be communicative about that vision. But leaders isn't about doing every single job. It is really about now letting others take that vision, take that strategy, take that direction, and you start following them as a leader of how they're going to execute it. And I think a good leader knows when to push, when to pull, and when to take a back seat and let their team and other team members around them really, really take advantage of the situation, of the vision, and really excel beyond belief. And I think that's the key. I think a lot of people either think I'm a leader, so I'm always in charge. That means I'm always the decision maker. And that's not the case. Leadership is more about those subtleties of being an influencer, of being a follower when it makes sense, of letting your team fail, but fail safe and fail fast. That means you've got to follow. And I think a good leader has both of those aspects, both leadership and being able to follow a team when necessary. So those would be my three pieces of advice.
That really is some great advice that you shared with us. Number one being make your aspirations known, and number two, knowing how to hone your leadership skills and really being able to figure out how to use the tools around you. And then number three, knowing when to lead and when to follow and knowing which strings to pull in order to make your team successful with the vision that you set. Josh, thank you so much for joining us today. This has really been a fantastic discussion. I appreciate your passion for healthcare and leadership, and I look forward to connecting with you again in the future.
Thank you, Laura, for having me. Appreciate it.